22 y el 23 de septiembre. Estamos en la Rote Fabrik.
Am 22. und 23. September in der Roten Fabrik.
Come to the Rote Fabrik, 22nd and 23rd of September.
Ich bin Fabio, ich bin Radio Lora, mega cool.
40 anni, Radio Lora, lora.ch.
We are celebrating 40 years, 40 years of amazing people and amazing ideas.
14 na taon, Radio Lora, lora.ch.
Seit 40 Jahren, Radio Lora, lora.ch.
40 Jahre, Radio Lora, lora.ch.
40 Jahre widerständig in 40 Sprachen beinahe. Als erstes werbefreies Radio, gefolgt von 40 weiteren. Das kommt noch. Komm auch!
Irailaren 22 eta 23an Rote Fabriken ikusiko gara.
22-23 di settembre, Fabrica Rossa in Zurigo. Wenn ist das? Am 22. und 23. September in der Roten Fabrik Zürich.
Hello, ahlan wa sahlan and welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. Houston's community station, 90.1 FM and FM HD1. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. In this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1078, we will talk about the historic grand opening of the Sinan Shibani Marsh Arabs project and the construction of the amazing Modif structure on the lawn of Rice University in Houston, Texas. This is the first time in history that a traditional Modif is built outside of Iraq from reeds shipped from Iraq to the United States. The Modif is a reed guest house. I attended that special grand opening event and spoke with many of the attendees, and I will be airing many of their remarks about Iraq, its culture, heritage, the Modif, and what it means to them, and much more. Before I do that, I want to share with you some information about the catastrophic earthquake in Morocco and the unprecedented deadly flooding in Libya, two Arab countries in northern Africa, and how you can help. On September 8, 2023, a major earthquake that registered a magnitude of 6.8 hit Morocco. It was the deadliest earthquake to hit Morocco in over 60 years. According to the Moroccan Ministry of Interior, nearly 3,000 people were killed and nearly 6,000 were injured. The numbers are expected to go higher. Several villages were wiped off the map by this catastrophic earthquake, and rescue teams are facing challenges reaching many areas as the search for the thousands of missing people and survivors trapped in the rubble of flattened villages continues. It has been a challenge for rescuers to reach remote mountain villages where victims are still being trapped. The massive earthquake struck 45 miles southwest of the ancient city of Marrakesh, a popular tourist destination. Images on TV show this massive earthquake has devastated the landscape of Morocco. Several aftershocks continue to hit Morocco. On September 10th, an aftershock of magnitude 4.5 rattled the affected region in Morocco, and on September 14th, another aftershock of 4.8 magnitude hit several areas in Morocco. Several countries, including the United States, have offered assistance to Morocco. In Houston, Texas, the Arab American Cultural and Community Center and the Moroccan Society of Houston, in collaboration with the City of Houston and its mayor, Sylvester Turner, will host a donation drive on September 16th and 17th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. to gather essential supplies for those impacted by the earthquake in Morocco. The donation drive aims to collect essential items that will be of immense help to those grappling with the aftermath of the earthquake. The needed items include coats, jackets, pants, gloves, socks, shoes, tents, blankets, sleeping bags, thermos bottles, hygiene kits, first aid kits, and flashlights. Two drop-off locations have been established for those wishing to contribute to this humanitarian effort. The Arab American Cultural and Community Center on 10555 Stancliffe Road and at a warehouse on 8500 Market Street, Suite A in Houston, Texas. Donors are encouraged to bring any of the specified items, new boxed items only, to either of these two locations during the designated hours on September 16th and 17th. I have more information on that on our website, arabvoices.net, under the community calendar section. You will also find information on how to contribute online through organizations that are aiding the rescue and recovery efforts in Morocco, such as the official Moroccan donation account information, UNICEF USA, the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, Global Giving, CARE, Doctors Without Borders, and the Islamic Society of Greater Houston. Morocco was not the only country hit by a deadly catastrophe in the past few days. On September 10th, Storm Daniel hit several Libyan cities very hard with massive rain that caused catastrophic flooding, especially after two dams collapsed. The flooding was unprecedented and destroyed cities and villages. More than 6,000 people were killed, and the number is expected to be much higher as recovery efforts are still underway, with more than 10,000 still missing or unaccounted for. More than 30,000 people were displaced. Storm Daniel hit the cities of Baida, Benghazi, Almerj, Sousa, and the port city of Derna, which suffered the most after two dams collapsed, causing catastrophic flooding in the city. News reports speak of thousands of bodies still being recovered and that rescue teams are having difficulties accessing Derna and other cities cut off by the storm damage. The images seen on TV of the widespread destruction throughout Libya are heartbreaking. Thousands of families are left homeless, without shelter, food, and access to clean water. If you want to help, there are several organizations that are accepting donations, including UNICEF, the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, which has a presence on the ground in Libya and has delivered medical supplies, hygiene kits, and clothing to thousands of people. By the way, the Center for Arab American Philanthropy in the United States established a community's collective response for disaster relief fund. 100% of all donations plus a 50 cent to the dollar match will be granted to UNICEF. I have a link to that on our website, arabvoices.net. The Center for Arab American Philanthropy in the U.S. is also accepting donations for those who are affected by the earthquake in Morocco. Other organizations that are accepting donations for the floods in Libya include the United Nations World Food Program, Islamic Relief, International Medical Corps, and the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent. Plans are being finalized in Houston, Texas for those who want to donate items, and I will have more information on that on our website, arabvoices.net, under the community calendar section. Our hearts go out to the people of Morocco and to the people of Libya. I will take a break now, and when we come back, we will talk about the historic grand opening of the Sinan Shibani Marsh Arabs project and the construction of the amazing Modif structure on the lawn of Rice University in Houston, Texas. It is the first time in history that a traditional Modif is built outside of Iraq from reeds shipped from Iraq to the United States. We will also listen to the remarks of many of the attendees, volunteers, and organizers talking about Iraq, its culture, heritage, the Modif, and what it means to them, and much more. We'll be right back. That was the singer Hussein Al-Jasmi with the song Kulluna Al-Iraq. Welcome back to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston since 2002 and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the U.S. and Europe. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Iraq, the cradle of civilization, with a very rich culture, heritage, great contributions to the world, and a rich ancient civilization, is also home to the Marsh Arabs, mainly in southern Iraq, near where the Tigris and Euphrates River join. The Marsh Arabs are a minority group of the Mesopotamian marshlands in modern-day South Iraq, with Sumerian and Bedouin origins. They have their own specific culture and architecture, way of life, and dialect, all rooted in and shaped by their environment, the marshes. A modif, Arabic word for a guest house, a 5,000-year-old structure, a traditional reed house, used to be one of the popular and unique builds of the Marsh Arabs in the swamps of southern Iraq. It serves as a cultural center, court, site for religious ceremonies, and a place for welcoming visitors. Well, a huge project named the Sinan Shibani Marsh Arabs Project, which included the building of a modif structure on the lawn of Rice University in Houston, Texas, about 7,300 miles from southern Iraq, where you can find an original modif, was launched in Houston, Texas about 2 years ago. The project is a collaboration between Archaeology Now and the Arab American Educational Foundation, and it provides one of the first opportunities for Americans to see and experience an authentic representation of an ancient culture with immense historical significance. One of the Sinan Shibani Marsh Arabs Project milestones was revealed at the grand opening ceremony held on September 9, 2023 at Rice University, and that is the modif created as a place to celebrate the story of the Iraqi marsh dwellers and to preserve 5,000 years of history. It was constructed in June and July 2023 by volunteers from across Houston, including many members of the multicultural and multi-faith Iraqi community who found purpose in the project. I attended the grand opening event, and let me tell you, what an incredible and amazing structure. No matter how much we describe the structure and the efforts it took to build it, it won't be sufficient and fair. So you really have to go see it in person. It is the first time of its kind ever built outside of Iraq from materials shipped from Iraq. Over 100 volunteers participated in building it from the Iraqi community in Houston and representatives from various organizations. The project was named after the late Sinan Shibani, son of Dr. Aziz Shibani, president of the Arab American Educational Foundation in Houston. Sinan, an Iraqi-American who passed away in March 2023, demonstrated throughout his life a remarkable dedication to the Arab and Iraqi communities, driven by his love for Iraqi culture and pride in his heritage. His passion for justice and desire to uplift Arab and Iraqi people led him on a journey from the bustling streets of Houston and Austin to the heartlands of Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq. During his time in Iraq, he immersed himself in its rich history, diligently gathering records from librarians that documented modern Iraqi political and cultural history. As the modif took shape, Sinan's legacy is woven into its very foundations, symbolizing the preservation of the Iraqi heritage he held dear to his heart. This cultural project will stand as a testament to the power of activism and the celebration and preservation of age-old traditions. The modif project stands as a tribute to Sinan's life's work, a beacon of hope, justice, and the celebration of culture. We will forever remember Sinan Shibani, the man who carried the joy of Iraqi sensibility and culture within him, and who championed the rights and dignity of his people. I'm going to share with you now remarks from some of the organizers, volunteers, and attendees at the grand opening ceremony, which, by the way, were from all over the United States. Let's begin with the opening remarks of Dr. Aziz Shibani, president of the Arab American Educational Foundation in Houston, where he begins with a thank you note to Rice University President Dr. Reginald Dirosh.
On behalf of the Arab and Iraqi community, I sincerely thank you for hosting the Sinan Shibani Molif Project on your campus, Mr. President. I would like also to thank Becky Lau, the CEO of the Archaeology Now, and the board for their partnership. We are also particularly thrilled and grateful that the project has been named after our beloved late son, Sinan. Sinan took great pride in his Iraqi heritage and has done extensive research on Iraq's contribution to human civilization from the ancient Mesopotamia and Sumerian times to the modern era. The Sumerians have lived in harmony with nature. Millions of birds from all around the world drank from their rivers and marshes. They raised buffaloes and ate fish. They made houses and canoes of reed, and they gave birth to the first writing, the first song, the first prayer, and the first beer. And ladies and gentlemen, what would American culture and Texas be without beer? The land of Iraq witnessed the birth of agriculture. Over the centuries, its society evolved, accumulating layers and layers of wealth and racial and religious diversity that we can still see today. The Iraqis who came to America brought their rich history with them, greatly contributing to the diversity of American culture and society. They also brought along their unity of purpose, showcasing how it is used to construct a great structure, but also to override divisions near and far, old and new. The project we celebrate today is a testimony to the unity, this collective work that truly defines Iraqi culture and highlights its contribution to the world. This project fulfills the mission laid out by President D. LaRouche, who so beautifully stated that we do not tolerate diversity, we celebrate diversity. Thank you.
That was Dr. Aziz Shibani, president of the Arab American Educational Foundation. Next, we will listen to the opening remarks of Azam Alwash, founder and CEO of Nature Iraq.
So this structure is made out of reeds upon reeds upon reeds. There is nothing but reeds in this structure. Even the ropes that were used are coming out of the reed. So one reed has no strength. It goes with the wind. A bundle is stronger. More bundles are stronger yet. But our reeds are only 2 meters, 3 meters high. They're not this long. So what we do is overlap them and splice them. And from the weak reed comes a strong column. In order to create these arches, these columns, though they're strong, they will move with the wind. So in order to give the structure rigidity, you bring in the two columns, you stick them sideways, and then you bring them together, pre-tensioning the arch. So now you have rigidity in this direction, but not in this direction. In order to get rigidity in this direction, you put multi-arches and then connect them with bundles of reed. And then to create the shade, you put reed mats made out of crushed reeds. This is what we do in the marshes in the afternoon when the work is done and you're getting ready to go to bed. You spend the 2 hours working together, joking, talking, discussing the problems, and creating a mat. It takes a woman or a family maybe 2 nights to create this mat. And that's what we produce, a bundle of reed that creates this. It's sold for 2,000 dinars, $1.50. When you make it into a mat, it's $4. It's an added value. Out of a natural resource that is worth nothing to you, you can feed a family. So now, this mat is used to cover. And guess what? What we do is we put this structure perpendicular to the direction of the prevailing wind. Why? So that when the wind comes in this direction, there is compression. And when it goes over, there is vacuum on this side. That creates cross ventilation. You come from the outside, it's 50 degrees centigrade, that's 120 for you. It's literally that hot. You go in, you're sweating, it's hot. Just with the shade, there is a 20 degrees drop. And then you have the cross ventilation, voila. You can take a siesta and escape the midday heat. It's Sumerian engineering, determined over eons of trial and error. But essentially, what I want to tell you all is that our forefathers lived in the world before electricity, before climate change, eh? They knew how to live with the environment. If we want to live with our environment as the world changes, what we need to do is relearn our history, because the blueprint for our future is rooted in our history. So now everybody that has participated in the working of this motif knows how to build one. Okay, not without mistakes, all right? It's going to be with mistakes. I know the mistakes in this. I'm keeping my mouth shut. But the most important part of this experience for me is that it brought Iraq back together. The people that worked on this, Sunni, Shia, Turkoman, Kurd, everybody, the mosaic of Iraq, helped and aided by American volunteers, created our connection to Sumer. And then, now the young generation that has participated now has in their hands, in their memories, the knowledge of how to build with this one and transfer it to the future. You are the custodians of the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Habibi.
That was Azam Alwash, founder and CEO of Nature Iraq. Next, I will air additional remarks I recorded from some of the organizers, volunteers, and attendees.
My name is Becky Lau. I'm the Executive Director of Archaeology Now. And this is the opening day, the grand opening of the Mood Eve, which is actually a two-year project. And it started because we realized that there were group of people from the marshes here in Houston. These are our neighbors, and Houstonians deserve to know their story. And so we wanted to give and to partner with them so that they have an opportunity to tell their story to a wider community. And that's why we began this. And of course, you can't talk about the Iraqi marshes without a Mood Eve, which is the central part of any village. It's owned by the Sheikh, and it serves as a guest house, a court of law, or maybe a place where villages together for a business meeting, something like that. And so we commissioned elders in Iraq to gather reeds and to fashion them into components and to put them on a shipping container for Houston. It's the first time that this has ever been done. So this Mood Eve here in Houston is constructed entirely from authentic materials from the marshes. And when we got the container here, then we started assembling the components. And here it is on the campus of Rice University today, September 9th, 2023. Another reason, besides telling the story of the people from the marshes that are here in Houston, is this is a 5,000-year-old culture, and with traditions that are deep. And so in addition to that being important, the other thing that's so interesting is that the reeds that were used to build this Mood Eve are the same as reeds that grow here in Galveston and the marshes around Houston, Galveston area. And there's also some other synchronicities. The marshes in Iraq, of course, are threatened, but the marshes here are becoming threatened. There's huge loss of biodiversity here, just like there is in the marshes of Iraq. So we thought there are so many connections between these two areas of the world. And so that's another reason that we wanted to put this project together.
My name is Azam Alwash. I am the founder and the CEO of Nature Iraq, an Iraqi NGO that focuses on the restoration of the Iraqi environment and the preservation of its cultural heritage. I went back to Iraq in 2003, having been away for more than 25 years, working and tried to work on the restoration of the marshes. Pretty soon I figured out that the marshes, in order to restore the marshes, we need to not only protect the marshes, but protect all the sources of the water going up to the headwaters. Be that as it may, more importantly, I became even more aware of the importance of the culture that grew out of the marshes. The Sumerians, rightfully, are called the first writers, the first people who invented writing, the first people who invented laws, written constitutions, and they lived originally a sustainable life. Their entire lifestyle is made out of the harvesting of the natural resources. People who live inside the marshes create their islands from the reeds. They create their houses from the reeds. They feed the young reeds to their water buffalo. They use the reeds to weave even nets to fish from the marshes. They use the dry reeds to power their ovens. This is a lifestyle that could not have been possible without building reeds. And this is an example of the complete architecture of Iraq. Mudif is a guest house. It's the largest house in a village. It is where the sheikh sits and receives guests, and where the tribal problems get resolved. It is a structure that is made out of reeds upon reeds upon reeds. There's no metal involved in the process. It is it is an example how one reed that is weak becomes a bundle, becomes stronger, binding them together makes them even stronger. From the weak short reeds, you can create a structure that's 5-6 meters high, that can withstand the weather, that can provide you shelter, that can provide you a place to meet, a place to rest. And so the skills needed to build this are dying because of the fact that people are moving to the cities. They don't associate the reeds with modernity, naturally, because... But the fact is, I became aware that, in fact, the solutions for living with our changed environment are right in front of us. So we need to preserve the skills. And so this